2021 at Universal Studios at Universal Orlando Resort.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Smart Clock Podcast is back once again. It doesn't bother me. I'm sure it bothers a lot of the 15-year-old marks on Twitter and Facebook.
Well, how about a Y2J telling you to shut the hell up?
34 Boulevard Road. I don't know where I am. I'm so lost and afraid and alone. You can see Vince's greasy little fingerprints all over this segment.
This has turned into nothing more than a handicap match!
I don't respect you, Dexter, and I intend to beat you.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to part two of Week in the Universe, where we discuss the Blue Brand SmackDown Live. I am your host, Amir Osneni, and joining me as ever is Stephen Neal.
All right, mate, let's crack straight into the Blue Brand, shall we?
Yes, let's break down some B Brand, firmly in the B Brand slot right now, SmackDown Live.
I will prove to you exactly why your destiny is to lose to the modern-day Maharaja.
You will never be as good as AJ Styles.
It's not paranoia.
So we described Raw as the middle of the road show. SmackDown was similar, I think, in a lot of ways. Where do you start with this week's SmackDown Live? Not a great deal of main event nonsense, other than, of course, the Yep movement. Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are looking to occupy SmackDown Live. Daniel Bryan S circa 2014, 2015, that sort of region. WrestleMania 30, so I think it was 2014. Either way, they're looking to occupy Raw. And the Occupy SmackDown Live, excuse me, and the best way to do this is by completely ripping off Daniel Bryan's gimmick, coming out with brilliant Yep shirts, great mic work. Hilarity ensues, and of course, we get the announcement that Daniel Bryan will also be a special guest referee in their make or break tag team match at Clash of Champions. Are you enjoying the Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn show for what it is right now?
Yeah, exactly. I'm enjoying it for what it is. I don't know how far it can go or where it's going to go, and that's fine. But right now, it's probably the most entertaining thing on SmackDown. Certainly, I think it was this week. I think they've elevated themselves back ahead of Rusev. It's just, they're just brilliant on the mic when they want to be. And the interactions, they're just little things that Sami Zayn's doing now to be a really irritating heel. Is just, it's brilliant. Like, at the end of the show, where he's just pulling his shirt up as Kevin Owens is screaming Yep, like in time with his chants, just revealing his nipples for no particular reason, and then Kevin Owens kissing him straight on the face. It's just, it's so good. It's so good. It's so entertaining. It's so fun. And they actually look like they're enjoying themselves as well. And I think Kevin Owens has gone through a period this year where he's not sort of seemed like he's particularly having fun. Sami Zayn's been through a very long period where he's not really seemed like he's having fun or enjoying what he's doing. They're going through the motions because the booking's not great. It's great to see they're both now just two mates having a massive laugh with what they're doing. And they're doing it kind of at or near the top of the card, which is brilliant.
I find it very interesting that indie guys seem to be ruling the roost here. You've got Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, Daniel Bryan. They're kind of the spine of the show, with Shane McMahon sort of poking around periodically. There was no Shane McMahon this week, so it's up to Daniel Bryan to provide more of the authority side of things. And this culminated, of course, in the main event as well. Nakamura versus Owens, which is, you know, a decent main event, and Owens goes over, which is nice. Daniel Bryan on commentary being chastised by Byron Saxton, which is just ridiculous in so many ways. It's like, excuse me, mate, you do realise that's your manager at the table? Maybe you should have a bit more respect instead of just being the steaming mark cunt that you are. But, yeah, it's, you kind of struck the nail on the head. I'm enjoying it for what it is. Is it premier stuff? Not really. Is it fun? Yes. Is it great to see Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn join himself? Absolutely. I'm curious to see how it culminates. I'm assuming we're going to get a shift in authority with Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon going at each other, or some sort of split which might cause some sort of divide on SmackDown in some way, or maybe we're just, you know, leaning towards Daniel Bryan getting the boot out the door so that he can go and wrestle in Ring of Honor. I have no idea, but it's all right. It does the job for now. Is it premier quality storylines? Is it up there with even something like a Samoa Joe Roman Reigns? Not for me personally, but I do enjoy it for what it is. Very much like Rusev Day, who... Rusev Day, which is what I assume we're just going to call the tag team because that's just easier. But Rusev and Aiden English, some great promo fare, interrupted by the Usos with the New Day at ringside, also with ludicrous hotcake shenanigans, throwing hotcakes at Corey Graves. He's like, stop throwing cakes at me.
It's getting very It's ridiculous. Literally amazing. I love that.
It's so funny.
Corey Graves sitting there just going, someone give me a pocket square. I've got Aunt Jemima in my paws. It's just my favourite line. On SmackDown, maybe all year. Incredible.
He's, I love Corey Graves. He's so good. He has really rescued a lot of the audible portion of this product. But yeah, Rusev Day going over the Usos, getting a win, really building up nicely towards this tag team contest. Gable and Benjamin come out. He makes a training day joke, which is relatively funny. Although, as soon as I watched that, I immediately thought Vince McMahon has just seen training day and thought, that's something black people say. And he's just putting on Shelton Benjamin for the day because he's literally only just realized that training day has been a thing for many, many, many moons. But
yes, 2001.
Starting up nicely.
It Great really is still a reference there, isn't it?
Vince McMahon is literally. Films. Vince McMahon has frozen time since they bought out WCW. Like, he doesn't believe that time has moved on from that point, that it will always Brilliant. Be him standing there going, IOWCW. Just doesn't give a shit. Vince McMahon refuses, to, much like many of the older generation running around our world at this moment, he refuses to accept that we have moved on past 1960, frankly. So, yeah, tag team division's looking quite hot as well. You're looking forward to the Fatal 4-Way tag match at COC?
I should be a good match. It might be a bit clusterfucky, but it should be an entertaining match with the talent in there. You've got power guys, you've got wrestling guys, you've got high flyers. So you've got a really good balance in there for it to be an entertaining spectacle. I mean, it should be match of the night. So I've got reasonably high hopes actually for this match because the talent involved is supreme. As you say, the SmackDown tag team division has gone from 2 months ago looking like it was two teams to suddenly looking very, very strong. Bearing in mind, you've also got Breezango and the Bludgeon Brothers facing off at Clash of Champions as well. That's two more tag teams in the mix. I mean, no one cares about it, but at least you've got two other tag teams in there. So you've got six tag teams, that's not including the Ascension, running around on SmackDown. So the quantity is there, and actually the talent across the whole group, quality-wise, is very, very good as well. It's just about how they're going to use them, and at least we're getting a really good portion being used now, you know, in the tag team title picture, looking to make it exciting and unpredictable and relevant, which is really, really good. When the tag team division is strong on a brand, the brand normally is doing pretty well. That's my opinion. I think the tag titles are a really, really important part of the product. When you see it suffer, generally you see a real dip in the brand. So that the tag team division is strong, it's a good staple to have for the rest of SmackDown to go off. It's been one of their staples really for a while now, hasn't it? It's been kind of the women and tag teams. SmackDown with the women. In particular tag teams. So yeah, I am looking forward to it. It should be very good.
Yeah, even in this case where you got AJ Styles in the title hunt, you know, facing off with Jinder Mahal, that pales for me in comparison to what the tag team division is doing and also to what the women are doing. I feel that Styles and Jinder feels like a very middle-of-the-road main event anyway. It's nice, if nothing else. I mean, nobody's going to care, and they're probably going to get destroyed, but at least Breezango are on the pay-per-view. They're on the main card as well, along with the Bludgeon Brothers. You know, it shows depth, and it shows a willingness to promote more than just the tag team title match, which is good. It's if you look back at old WWF pay-per-views, Attitude Era stuff, they always had tag matches in there, even if they didn't involve the tag team titles. A lot of them were weirdly concocted matches as well. Like, you know, there's a WrestleMania 2000 with, I believe it's Right to Censor versus D'Lo Brown and The Godfather or something along those lines. But I think they're facing Big Boss Man and Bobby Cannon, something like that. It's very weird, and you just think, huh, But the willingness is always there. And tag team wrestling, no, Stone Cold goes on about it on his podcast a lot. Tag team wrestling is very, very important to the spine of all wrestling, not just WWE. And if you look back at the old days, you know, WCW had a very healthy tag team division at times. It's when products tend to waver from a certain division, like a tag team, that they tend to struggle. You need to have good emphasis on all your divisions across the board. And even the women got a decent emphasis here. You had Charlotte versus Ruby Riott, which was a serviceable match, which obviously ends in a hilarious clusterfuck. Sarah Logan caught the ire of my missus this week, who watched SmackDown Women. She was just like, I don't like her. It's like, fair enough. I don't like her. She doesn't fit in. I was like, no, that is kind of the problem with this whole thing, is that they don't fit in. But yeah, SmackDown, what do you think also, like we mentioned Breezango in passing, what do you think about the fact that they started, well, from what I could tell, just doing Fashion Files online now and not actually giving it TV time?
I'm glad that it's still being put out there. That's, you know, a positive, but it's been one of your most popular segments for a long time now. It feels a bit weird that they're just going to showcase almost like a highlights from it, just because it led to a match at a pay-per-view. And so you have to reference it on your TV product. Why not just play the whole fucking thing? You know, without pissing around, there was stuff on there that could have been cut down dramatically in terms of content. Like, we didn't need to see the Singh Brothers and AJ Styles segment go as long as it did. We could have had an extra few minutes of Fashion Files in place of that. So I find it a little bit strange, but at least they're still giving them a platform to go out there and put it on. But it is a bit odd.
I found it very strange, simply because I almost get the impression that somebody sort of said, right, well, these guys are taking up time. We need to dedicate more time to wrestling on a two-hour format. That's fine if you're going to have Rusev Day versus the Usos or something of that nature every week. It looks like there's been a stronger emphasis to give people two or three solid matches a week on SmackDown in the last couple of weeks, particularly with the women's division. As it is, Naomi making her triumphant return after 2 weeks. I don't know. I mean, it was nice. It was lovely to see the crowd pop. They're obviously excited to see her. She probably could have done with a few more weeks away, to be honest. Give her a nice break from the product, really, and sort of help her refresh herself a little bit, and also sort of remind people that, hey, it's okay to sort of miss people for a while. That seems to be the indication with Becky Lynch, from what I can tell. So the women's division looks relatively healthy. Do you know what my problem is with SmackDown? Everything looks relatively healthy, but nothing jumps out at you at all. There isn't anything here where I think, gee, I can't wait. Like, on paper, the tag team match is the one I'm most excited about. No question. That's got the most talent. It's got the wrestlers I am emotionally invested in the most in. You know, you've got Rusev Day, who I love. I find the New Day hysterical at times, if not a little bit annoying when they're consistently in the main event. I find Gable and Benjamin are excellent technical wrestlers, and the Usos, for me, are one of the best tag teams I've seen in the last 10 years. So you are looking at a real collection of great talent, whether that match comes together, especially with the four-way dynamic. It's not two men in the ring and they can just tag anyone. There's actually going to be a member of each team in the ring at all times, which I find very unique. Very curious to see how that's going to work. But there's a lot going on, and none of it I dislike, but none of it excites me in the way, you know, even the build to the Raw rivalries. I'm looking at Raw and I'm thinking that Samoa Joe Roman Reigns match has money written on it if it's done properly. That's something I could really get my teeth into. I don't find much interest in something like an AJ Styles versus Jinder Mahal. The tag team match I'm excited about, but it doesn't have a great deal of emotional interest because it is, hey, look at these four teams that are contenders. And, you know, I'm more so looking towards the upset with Rusev Day. I think that might be on, well, I'm not sure it's on the cards, mainly because they've won the last 2 weeks, and that's normally an indication that somebody else is going to lose, but at least they've done a good job of building that team up. The women's match is great. I don't feel that it really needs the lumberjack element, to be honest, but it's there because you've had an influx of females on the roster, and you think, well, we need to sort of shoehorn in as many of these women as possible so they feel like they're being used, if nothing else. So there's a lot to get your teeth into in SmackDown. Is there anything else you really sort of wanted to touch upon with it, mate?
Yeah, I mean, it's just to agree, I guess, with the women's stuff. It's it's okay, but it's not better than okay. And as you say, the Natalia Charlotte match, we know is going to be a good wrestling match, doesn't really need everyone else running around. Can I just say, obviously Lana is going to be moving back towards a bit more of a wrestling persona again, or certainly there's going to be opportunities for her to do that going forward, which is kind of what we expected, unfortunately. Hopefully there's been some dramatic improvement. Her ring gear, by the way, looks phenomenal. I'm enjoying the ravishing thing written down. Yes. Hello. Hello, Lana. You may be a wrestler again. You can wrestle at all times. You're a technical supremo.
Bret Hart for the women's division.
Absolutely. None of that Natalia nonsense. I want to see misplaced kicks. That's my wrestling. She's, but yeah, I like the fact they're all getting out there. I like the fact they're all getting TV time. I thought at least with the Naomi kind of comeback after being away, at least they did that properly. You know, when we were saying about on Raw, Nia Jax coming down, she should have been the monster given that moment of coming down and smashing everyone. Didn't happen. At least with Naomi, we got that furious, feel the glow, eat my ass, you know, moments, which is what you need, I think. You know, Naomi needs a little bit of a refresher at the moment, and a couple of weeks away and coming back with some real kind of intensity and some real heat behind her, I think is a really positive thing, actually. I think it's good for the women's division as well.
I feel like SmackDown Live goes as far as the crowd will allow it to. Like, Naomi in certain towns would not have got as good a reaction. This one, the crowd were really hot. She's firing off punches. Everyone's like, yes, yes, kick their fucking ass. And it's like, brilliant. You are really helping to elevate that product, and it makes the moment so much better.
Yeah.
You know, you look back at things like when Austin comes down and costs The Rock the title versus Mankind. If the crowd doesn't pop the way they do when he comes down, it doesn't have the gravitas. You know, I think the crowd don't realize how important they can be at times to the elevation and the evolution of the product that they're watching. You know, when people chant Joe during his entrance, little things like that, it makes it seem far more exciting, more interesting. You hear everyone chanting Joe, it gets the blood pumping a little more. And not only that, you're going to get more out of that wrestler, because that guy's going to think, yes, fucking yes, the crowd is involved, they're invested in what I'm doing. It makes you more passionate overall as an entity and what you're doing on the product.
Too many crowds want to be a character, don't they? They think they're watching Cena all the time. It's a Cena, it's the John Cena effect. It's not a criticism of John Cena necessarily, but just that thing of where he's supposed to be the good guy and everyone's like, nope, fuck you. That's kind of taken on now, with just so often where they want to be a character and they want to be what's talked about all the time. You know, they want to be quote unquote smarky, and that it does take away sometimes, or it takes away all the time from the product you're watching. You get, as a TV viewer, you get emotionally invested with the crowd. If there's a huge cheer, you kind of get that little bit of a jolt as well, don't you? You know, and if it's just a kind of that's exactly how you feel. So, as you say, the crowd are important and they need to just go in there sometimes and know their role.
Yeah, like you say, post WrestleMania Raw crowds have a lot to answer for in this regard, because now all of a sudden everybody thinks they're post WrestleMania Raw crowd. So you get to the smarkier towns. Chicago's always had that edge. Like, Chicago kind of gets a pass because it's Chicago in a lot of ways. Same with somewhere like Philadelphia. But the rest of them, you just think, you know, when you're in buttfuck Tennessee and they're sort of like, you've got all these people chanting bullshit and you deserve it and this is awesome after 3 minutes of, you know, hip tosses, you just think, come on, like, just kind of give more to the product and less to your own ego, really. Like, you can have fun and get yourself over in a sort of lighter manner than this. And I feel like you say, I mean, WWE don't help themselves because they do kind of encourage interaction on a lot of levels, but not to this extreme. And this is not, you know, it's nice that we've seen a few crowds lately that are quite invested in the product, because it has helped something like a Raw, where it's a middle of the road show this week, but when the crowd are invested and they're getting excited, that gives it that extra elevation, like you say. And people watching at home, they do feed off the audience. Absolutely, they do. They get a real sense of excitement. The vibe comes through the TV, just like it does with the product. And the more people are going crazy, the more intense they are for a Braun Strowman beatdown or a Samoa Joe Coquina clutch moment, or just chanting along with somebody's music. That makes the product that little bit better, so it's nice to have that in mind. What were your overall thoughts of SmackDown, mate?
Yeah, as you say, it was a middle of the road show. It was solid. There was nothing really stand out terrible about it. Maybe the kind of Bobby Roode, Corbin, Ziggler thing, you just don't care about it. It's not that it's terrible, I just don't care.
Yeah, that's why we don't talk about it. Just don't care. Yeah.
Exactly. And that's kind of been SmackDown's MO a little bit. You know, it's not terrible, it's just no one cares. I would give it a solid kind of two genders and a Bollywood boy. It was a little bit behind Raw this week, but it was solid. It was middle of the road and very much saved by the Sami Zayn, Kevin Owens dynamic and Daniel Bryan as well. The Bryan Saxton stuff was hilarious because all it was doing was basically forcing Daniel Bryan to defend the indies on WWE show. It's like, well done, Byron, you fucking moron. He's sitting there building up the indies like, well, no, it's legitimate to wrestle in the indies. Everyone who wrestles in the indies is hard work. Actually, there's a world beyond the WWE, Byron. He's sitting there going, Vince doesn't want your fans to know that. He doesn't want them to know there's any other promotion at all. It was just stupid, wasn't it? And it did was... Corey Graves sitting there going, shut up, Byron. Byron, you've got to lose this. Just, Byron, shut up. You can see Vince in his ear going, shut him up! Stop him!
Vince,
do not speak about NJPW!
Vince McMahon's just in. He's just, shut up, shut that black bastard up right now, God damn it. Fucking hell.
Somebody tell Booker T to shut up. What do you mean it's not Booker T? Fuck you.
Mr. T.
Mr. T. Get him in here. He'll do a great job. Byron Saxton. Every time I listen to Byron Saxton, he reminds me of every person who feels the need to incessantly defend Roman Reigns for everything he does on a regular basis on Twitter. Like, every person who loves Roman Reigns. I love this. I saw the other day some bloke went, Roman Reigns, just, I'm not really feeling Roman Reigns as an Intercontinental Champion. And, like, literally had, like, 50 comments on it going, you're fucking scum, Roman Reigns is amazing, believe that, yeah. Believe in the shield, blah, 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 blah. It's like, fuck off, you cunts. You're as bad as the rest of them. How do you think?
Chill out.
Just shut up. Like, fuck you. It's fine. You
it's an Roman entertainment Reigns, show.
It's exactly. It's called, serious. It's called being subjective, you fucking twats. If you don't like someone's opinion, don't read it. It's just, no, I must read all the negativity and then force my positivity down their throats like semen. That's not how this works. That's really not. Like, and Byron Saxton is the epitome of that. It's almost like somebody said to Byron Saxton, right, you are, for the rest of your career, 12-year-old black child who supports wrestlers and enjoys all the carny bullshit. Because he's like, oh my God, I love pancakes. I love hotcakes. And like Byron, and Corey Graves is looking at him like, shut the fuck up, you fucking child. Basically, Corey Graves is us. And Byron Saxton is that fat, annoying dweeb who's far too overgrown for his age, still wearing his John Cena merchandise and wearing jorts to every single event, thinking that he can be just like his hero. It is very much that sort of nature. And I almost feel like that's been done deliberately. I will give WWE credit because Byron Saxton has been incessantly markish for so long now. It's not just an accident. It's obviously done with some sort of... And it is quite funny as well. And Byron Saxton's like, oh, but that wasn't for the WWE title. And Dan Bryan's like, yeah, I know. I didn't say it was. But newsflash, I wrestled before WWE. Like, there are actually things that exist other than WWE. The thing is as well, when you have this argument, like, now we're getting off on a tangent, but when you think about Byron Saxton and the way he's talking, it's like, yeah, but your NXT brand, your developmental brand, that relies on that exact, you know, style of wrestling
food
that Daniel Bryan is describing. Well. Yeah.
That's where all of their talent comes from, pretty much, is coming top indie guys and girls coming in there to ply their trade. That makes up a huge amount of NXT's roster and a huge amount of SmackDown and Raw's roster, and that's been the case for a long time. Your two biggest stars, bar Roman Reigns, that you've produced in the last 7 or 8 years, were CM Punk and Daniel Bryan, and they both came in from the indies. Now you've got AJ Styles and Samoa Joe running roughshod on your main brand. So it's just strange to almost kind of be like, yeah, but if it's not in WWE, it doesn't count on WWE programming. All you're doing is promoting it. It's like one of them sitting there. It's like you can just imagine in a couple of weeks' time, there's just going to be Byron Saxton sitting there going, I never liked Jericho anyway. Who is this Jericho? What a load of nonsense. God. Going over to Japan, he doesn't matter anymore. He's irrelevant. Do you know what I mean? It's going to be that kind of level of nonsense.
Yeah, it's just it just smack of WWE sort of trying to shame you for being a fan of something other than their product. And that's not very smart, because you want to be bringing in more indie fans. Like, the reality is, you've got people like you say, Samoa Joe, Daniel Bryan, Kevin Owens, Sami Zayn, are all leading your product forward. And the reality is, if you want people to cheer for him, you want numbers, then you're going to have to start appealing to the indie crowd more, because those guys will want to watch their heroes grow up on WWE. And let's be honest, the guy who's main champion, the one serious champion you have around, AJ Styles, as the ROH champion, is Mr. Indies himself. He personifies everything indie and Japan. So Byron Saxton, I would love it if Danny Bryan was like, oh, what, AJ, like AJ Styles, you mean the heavyweight champion, the guy who runs the show, the guy who made this place, the guy who actually made his career outside of WWE? Yeah, shut your fucking mouth, you useless Mark shite bag. I'm getting a little bit bored of Byron Saxton, as you can tell. I'd like to see Biggie smother him to death with a pancake. That would be a great way to end Byron Saxton's on-air career.
Drown him out.
Yes. But I agree with you. 2.5. No question to Jinder and Bollywood Boy. Solid, but very, I wouldn't say uninspiring, but not particularly, I don't know. It just didn't jump out at me. Even the tag stuff. You know, I saw the Usos on tap against Rusev. Therefore, hello, this has got potential. That was a fine match, but it wasn't exactly a barn burner. And honestly, I'd rather it wasn't anyway. I want to see all that good quality, hot tag team shit coming out of the fucking pay-per-view. I don't want to see them spunking 20-minute fucking classics on SmackDown anyway, as far as I'm concerned. I'd rather it built to the story. But I guess it probably would have got a better rating from me if they hadn't dedicated so much time to a pointless US title run nobody gives two fucks about. They haven't learnt with Baron Corbin, have they? Put him in the ring with people that matter, and he matters. AJ Styles, for instance, people loved that shit. And Baron Corbin came out of that looking like $1 million. Now he's in the ring with Bobby Roode, who has basically just become pointless Ric Flair knockoff from TNA. And Dolph Ziggler, who is seriously, he is more irrelevant than the Liberal Democrats at this point. It is embarrassing. It's absolutely embarrassing. I have zero time for Dolph Ziggler at all. And anything that Dolph Ziggler's in, I refuse to give any of my emotion to. Fuck him.
America.
Interactions. Not a huge amount, but there is some here. So, at ILoveClee216, reigning champion. I'm actually pretty intrigued by this Daniel Bryan second guest referee dynamic. A lot of different directions they can take with this. If he returns, no matter what, he'll be a babyface. So it'd be interesting to see if they team him up with KO and Sami Zayn. That's kind of the whole crux of this, isn't it? What is Daniel Bryan going to do? That seems to have now overshadowed anything else that we're watching. Women's division is a mess. Ruby Riott looks like she probably belongs, but Liv and Logan just have no business being on the roster. It was good to see a violent side to Naomi last night, though. Even though my queen got her fucking ass kicked again. Yeah, Charlotte's getting a bit of an ass kicking at the moment. The idea is, at least they're making the statement with the right person, unlike Absolution, who just kind of don't really know what they're doing. The fact that they're making the statement on, you know, the woman of the division, for me, that's the smart direction to take.
It was a bit repetitive, wasn't it, from Raw? Because Absolution finally took on Asuka, and then everyone steamed down. And on this one, you've got the Riot Squad taking on... what the fuck is this hammering going on? You've got some form of B&Q shit going on outside.
B&Q shit. And now we have a name the Riot... for this podcast.
You've got the Riot Squad going after Charlotte. And again, everyone sort of runs in and gets involved. So it was quite similar. And we've seen that a few times with the women's division in recent weeks, haven't we? Where SmackDown ends up basically just copying Raw. And it felt a bit like that again, to be fair.
Yeah, the women's division seem to be mimicking each other. Normally, SmackDown is the one that leads. So it's a little bit jarring, actually, to see SmackDown having to play catch-up with Raw in that respect. But, I still have far more faith right now in what SmackDown's women's roster can do over what Raw's women's roster can do, despite the fact that Raw's women's roster has come along nicely. You know, putting Asuka in pointless little rivalries like they have and having Nia Jax fucking around backstage with Enzo. It's all fun and games, and we like the entertainment aspect of it, but it's not really helping the women's brand that much. There seems to have been a step back in a way. I don't feel like the eyes are on the women's product as much as they were, especially during the Money in the Bank period. As much as we didn't like certain creative directions of that, I felt like the women were front and center, and that was important to me. And I think that one of the reasons SmackDown doesn't jump out to me as much as it has done recently is because they're not putting the women up front. They're putting the tag team division up front more, which is great, but they've regaled on the, you know, they're almost kind of like just drawn back the women's division a little bit. And although they're still doing good work, they don't feel like they're as important as they were. And that's a bit of a shame for me. At Article 216 also added, it's fucking Rusev Day! And that was all he had for us in terms of interaction. So thank you very, very much. At Smiley Baby Boo, this SmackDown go-home show was boring, but here we go. So for the go-home show, we are just going to have matches ending DQs and squashes. That'll get people to watch. Ouch. So they brought back Holland Delaney from ECW just to job out to the Bludgeon Brothers. Also, whoever paid that man to scream like that, bravo, you get a gold star. Yeah, we didn't mention the incredible scream as he was murdered by the Bludgeon Brothers, which will no doubt give him a fucking contract. He'll probably get Screaming Man contract, and it'll be like Naked Minion, where he just runs through a segment screaming like a girl. But seeing Colin Delaney with facial hair, nonetheless, was very weird. Do you remember Colin Delaney, the severely malnourished wrestler?
Yeah, it was a bit stupid, wasn't it, to randomly bring him back? I quite like the fact that Corey Graves did reference that, though. He's back from the wilderness. It's quite amazing.
Pretty much. Smiley's back on the soccer mum bandwagon. Daniel Bryan is turning more and more into a soccer mum. Oh my God, he must protect his badass kids, Kevin and Sammy. See, to us, badass means cool. So over there, it must be like just, you know, you're a bad, badass kid. Get your ass in the house. I do like the idea of Daniel Bryan standing there pointing towards the kitchen or something. You get in there and you do your chores, Kevin. Well, I don't want it. I should get in there right now. Just screaming at him. Do as you're goddamn told. I don't know why Vince is... I don't know. I just can't veer away from the Vince voice at this point. So that main event, it was eh. Danny Bryan putting a shame by taking off the referee's shirt and putting it on him and costing Nakamura and Randy the match. Yes. Yeah, no, just pretty much calling it as you see it, I'm afraid. We are getting a longer Fashion Files. Yes, yes, and yes. Are we?
Is it longer online?
I don't know. I haven't checked it online yet, truth be told, which is surprising because I love it that much, but I guess I've been quite busy. Yeah, I don't know. I guess we'll take your word for it, my dear. Bludgeon Brothers versus Breezango. They better not have them get squashed. I will be so pissed. Well, I've got news for you.
They will be getting squashed. Oh, yes.
You want to talk about squashed? They're going to be squashed like Linda's face when I sit on it later. Wow.
How hilarious would it be if Breezango won and they just cut the legs off the Bludgeon Brothers straight away? Ha ha! Fuck you.
I would laugh hysterically.
Nothing for you.
No, Luke Harper. What's that, Luke Harper? Most talented big man in this job. Get out! So we are just not going to get a Bobby Roode entrance. Strike one. Fair enough. So after months of Dolph making fun of people's entrances and not having his music play when he comes out, WWE just says, fuck that, he's coming out to his music because fuck storylines. You know? Nobody cares.
Yeah.
So you're not going to play Danny Bryan's music when he comes out during Sammy and Kevin's promo until after he's been standing there waiting, strike two.
That was amazing.
That was fucking so...
It was like a Pete Dunne thing again, wasn't it?
He just stopped. Oh, my God, the Pete Dunne thing was great. It's like, dun, 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 dun. It's Kurt Angle. Wait, what? It's fucking another shit. I'd like to introduce the newest member of the roster that you've already seen and they played the music. Shut up, play the music. Just keep fucking playing it. That's just fucking dumb. You give Chad Gable a live microphone, knowing damn well he's not good on the mic at all. Strike three. Somebody's getting fired. Fair enough. I really want to see Smiley in charge of creative for WWE for a week. I think it would be amazing. How dare this crowd boo at Rusev Day? Yeah, this crowd sucked for that. I thought they were going to be all cheers when Aiden English had the mic. No. We don't want entertaining stuff. We want to see pancakes being thrown around. Big E, the announcer's table with a frying pan full of pancakes. I need New Day pancakes, and I want them now. Make sure they're fresh, for the love of God. The Yet movement. Eh, is this supposed to be the best SmackDown got for their go-home show of the final pay-per-view of 2017? Because this was dumb as shit. I didn't mind it. I thought it was quite funny. I thought it was all right.
I thought it was the best thing
on the show.
Yeah, definitely.
Where the fuck is Ty Dillinger? I may not have seen that man on TV since the Las Vegas show. Where is poor Ty? That's actually true. I don't think he's been on there since he had that title shot. So,
there are a lot of rumours flying around. It'll be interesting to see if he's just being repackaged or if he's going to be sent back down to NXT. I don't think he's got heat necessarily. I just don't think they've got anything for him to do, and he's probably getting a bit frustrated in the fact that he's not wrestling.
If you strip back the gimmick, it's not a great deal there, is there, in terms of character, which is a bit of a shame. He needs to... Do you know what?
It might just be wrestling ability, isn't it?
Yeah, he's a good wrestler. Very good wrestler. Seth Rollins, of all people, was very complimentary of him once on his podcast with Chris Jericho, I believe. He said that, you know, this guy's one of the guys that everybody works with. Everybody loves him. He's been there 10 years, which is ironic in itself. But, yeah, just, I don't know. Something's not clicking. Everybody needs to be revamped from time to time, and I think it might be his turn. At Carl Russell, dude. AJ Styles opened the show. Nice to not see an authority figure immediately. Segment with the Singh brothers was okay, but line of the segment had to be come hug it out with old Uncle Al, which is also a reference to his character name from the podcast he used to do with the club when he was on Talking Shop with Jericho as well. They used to call him Uncle Al. That's his like nickname. So he's always, because he's obviously much older than everybody else, like more older than you think. And, yeah, so I liked it. It was funny. I also liked the fact that the Singh brothers were like, we don't like his feet. They smell like chicken and garlic.
I thought it was going to go down a very racial line for a minute. I was like, they're going to say curry, aren't they? They're going to say curry. Don't you say but curry.
But a chicken. That's not too Indian. That'll be fine.
Yeah. That's where Vince is sitting in the back going, I've just had Indian chicken last night. Say buttered chicken.
Say butter chicken, just don't say Indian chicken. Goddamn curry, my just coming to my house. I'm just getting Cameron here, give her a number 22. didn't really care for the women's match. It was just a setup to bring Naomi back, which is fine, but not a lot worth mentioning. That's fair enough. That kind of sums up Raw, really. SmackDown. Kind of sums up WWE, actually. Rude, give it Hallelujah. Graves, Hallelujah. Sexton, Hallelujah. Graves, shut up, Sexton. Brilliant. Line of the night. Bobby Roode stood tall, so he's probably not winning. At least make Ziggler take the pin. Bludgeon Brothers made a grown man scream well above my octave level. Fucking hilarious. I love that. It might be one of my highlights of SmackDown this year.
It was comedy gold, wasn't it?
It's fucking brilliant.
It's exactly how I'd actually react if I was being powerbombed by Eric Rowan and Luke Harper, to be fair.
Two guest referees. That'll probably be a mess, but D-Bry heel turn maybe? ?
Didn't they say it's never been done before? We've never even attempted to do this before. And so they're going,
I think they've never done ref match ones.
Austin didn't turn up till the end, and then he stunned Shane, and then he counted the pin, if I remember rightly.
One thing that did annoy me was like Byron Saxton went, there's never been a match with two referees before. What? The Royal Rumble pre-show this year had the club versus the bar with two referees. Like, revisionist is one thing, but it was in the same goddamn year, you fucking twats. Like, fuck you. Byron Saxton, seriously, I want to see like a show where Corey Graves is allowed to basically every time Byron Saxton makes an error, what they should do, get rid of 205 Live entirely and just have an hour where people are allowed to pay $5 each to throw whatever rotten carcass of an animal they can at Byron Saxton for every mistake he makes. So if he makes five mistakes, you can pick five of your finest roadkill and smash him around his greasy mark face with it, and that will And if I just go out of Vince McMahon and word that a little bit differently and say, Vince, I've come up with this idea where black people get beaten up on your TV show.
Well, that's money. Pull it on TV right now. God damn it. Where's our truth?
Alabama special.
It's Alabama. Oh, yes, I love black people in Alabama. It's descending in a farce, which is what I like. This is why we like interactions, because then we just come up with our own shit off the back of your hard work. Every day is a Rusev day. I want them to win so badly on Sunday. Usos will retain. Fuck you all. Nakamura Owens was okay. The only thing that really annoyed me was Saxton accusing Byron of favouritism. Byron of favouritism. When all he did was count a simple pinfall, that was aggravating as fuck. Tell you what, rewind a minute. Listen to my opinions on Byron Saxton. That covers that again. So, yeah. that does, however, sum up our interactions. Thank you very much for all the cracking opinions you had. I really appreciated it, as I'm sure Steve did. Anything to add, mate, before we wrap this bad boy up?
No, mate. Take me home.
Take me home. Oh, Fayed. Oh, sorry. Nobody's going to get that at all. Who's Al Fayed? Why are you talking about Diana's dead husband? Oh, wait, no. Oh, dear. Now I'm going to get a Secret Service knocking on my door. She swept mine for a living. She had it coming.
Paparazzi. She was with a brown man. Don't allow that shit.
In Paris. Fuck you. I'll give you a lot of resistance.
Meghan Markle should be shitting her pants right now.
Yeah, Jesus Christ. A half-caste woman in the royal family. Everybody run for their fucking lives if you have even the slightest tan or facial hair. Let's go. Just evacuate.
I just went under a sunbed. Shut your mouth.
You're a death to me, goddammit. Soon as Seamus goes near a sunbed. That's why Seamus is as pale as he is. Like, he's just... Vince loves Seamus. He's so pale. Pale people get pushed to the fucking hill. Have you noticed that? Seamus, oh my God, pushed the hill. Paige is getting pushed like crazy. Who else is pasty? Oh, Aiden English. He's getting a big push now. Also, New Day, right? So because you're black, it's acceptable, is it, to be racist towards pale people? Fuck you. Kofi Kingston, of all people. I'm sorry, you have some nerve, Captain. I'm from Africa. No, wait, I'm from Jamaica. No, wait, it's Kingston. No, wait, it's Ghana. Fuck you. You absolute dipshit.
And now, no, I'm just...
Utter garbage.
I had a Tropicana once. Does that count?
Let's not get onto the umbongo.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, yes. Let's wrap this shit up. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much for listening to part two of Week in the Universe. Just before we run off, PvP is this Sunday. Check out the pinned tweet at the Smart Plug, and that will give you everything you need to know for your opportunity to win a free pot vinyl on us, Circa the Champion, hashtag Smart Plug PvPCOC. So, just check out that pin tweet, guys. We need 7 match predictions, 2 tiebreakers. And just to reiterate, a tiebreaker means it is in place to break a tie. It is not an extra point. Get your goddamn facts right and pay attention to the dictionary, which you sorely need for Christmas. Christmas is coming up. So we really should. If anybody wants to send us Christmas presents, yes. tweet us at Steve the Duke 87.
He's scroungers.
He's a big fan of dry cured sausage. No idea.
Meat rub.
Good idea. Just send me meat rub and jerky, goddammit. And while you're at it, why don't you jerky this?
Jerky my meat rub.
Oh, yes. Caribbean style. Do you know what I mean? I was about to say Kofi Kingston again. Fuck's sake, get away from Kofi Kingston and the race card. So check out PvP, guys. Please send in your predictions. Obviously, try and DM them to us. And most of all, just, keep an eye out for it. But before we run away, we always give away a point in PvP. Now, normally we do it on part 3 of Week in the Universe, or part 2, obviously, if you're listening to it back in the day with Dexter Christian, whatever. But the reality is, we have an extra point up for grabs. Don't fucking complain to me. If you don't have the extra point advantage, you are given every opportunity to listen to a podcast. You will keep saying to me, oh, I love this podcast this week. Well, you obviously don't listen to the last 5 minutes ever, because nobody ever seems to send any answer to this other than the hosts and 2 people who are such avid listeners, bless them. So you want an extra point at PvP? You want to start off with a 1-0 advantage? Here is your opportunity right now. I need you to answer this very, very simple question. What year was the very first Clash of Champions pay-per-view? That's it. We need to know the answer to that. DM it to us. Obviously, don't tweet it to us, because then everybody knows the answer, which is just in itself very dumb. If anybody tweets it, I will nullify the question. Do you understand me? So DM it to us. And I swear to God, if I get the same answer from Rachel and Carl inside half an hour of each other, you two are getting fired. Also, giving me shit on the Twitter account, Kyle. Careful now, Sunshine. I'm surprised you even know how to use Twitter when those muffled sounds coming from your mouth. Unreal.
Busy fingers. Stop.
Just do us do us a favor, Rachel. Just stuff a sock in his gob. That'll help him. Oh dear.
Gag him. Immediately gag him.
Yes, put an apple in his mouth and serve him on a silver platter. I'm gonna have breakfast.
Basically, like pork. Christmas turkey.
You Canadian slut. Get in here. I'm gonna crisp him while you on a platter.
Moose me.
Moose and elk for dinner. Poutine eating motherfuckers. Sorry, Canada. I'm so sorry. You've really provided some great wrestlers and also some cracking headlines in the serial killer column. Right, ladies and gentlemen. With that being as it is, yeah, check out PvP. Please keep fucking voting for your year-end awards as well. We need to get as many votes as possible because it just makes the podcast that all but more fun. A few of you have been asking when that's going to be dropped. Should hopefully be around right at the back end of the year. Myself, Steve, and Dexter Critchman will correlate a time where we can all meet and, of course, record that podcast. But no question, it will be out near the back end of this year or at the very beginning of next year, which is kind of when you would expect a year-end awards podcast anyway. The clue is in the name. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, I would just like to say thank you very much for listening. And as always, check out all our social media links in the descriptions of every podcast that we drop for you guys from here on out. Steve Neal, thank you very much for joining us for part two of Week in the Universe, sir.
No, thank you as always, mate. Absolute pleasure.
Yes, it has. From myself, Ramirez Lee, and from Steve Neal, we will catch you very soon for another podcast from the Smart Plug Galaxy. Take care, guys, and look after yourselves in that wintry weather.
Well, folks, we're all out of time. This is Johnny Gomez saying good fight, good night.